Well, hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Jerry Usher will be back tomorrow. I need you today on Spy Wednesday, so please don't continue with your Holy Week yet. You got to have 1 hour with Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I need you to call in. Why? Because we're teaching and learning and growing every single time we do this show. So here's the question. What is the most difficult trial you have lived through? What's the most difficult test, trial, circumstance you've lived through? I really want to know so that we can learn and grow together. So if you could please call in. Matt Kabinsky's waiting to answer your call. I need your help. We've got Ace McKay on social media monitoring that for the comments and the chats. So that is fabulous. Thank you, Ace. We've got Charles Beery at the controls. He's our producer. And Matt is willing and able and ready to answer your call. So what's the most difficult trial you've lived through? And you can tell us the details and all the circumstances and where God was in the middle of it. Please help me out today by calling this number, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. We are in the middle of Holy Week. The Triduum starts tomorrow. I'm so excited about that. It is an amazing time, the highest point of our church year. So incredible. I hope you go very deep during the Triduum, but it is the Wednesday before the Triduum, and it is a time when we should be, maybe if you haven't gone to confession, get to some church that's still holding those last minute confessions, which I know they are, because I looked on the site for where I live, and there were at least 4 or 5 churches that were doing last minute confessions. So you definitely want to receive on Easter Sunday in a healthy spiritual state, and that's a beautiful thing. So the phone lines are lighting up. Thanks, you guys. I just love the Take Two family. You're amazing. Thank you, Ace, for monitoring social media. Thank you, Matt, for being so quick on the phones. I need to know the most difficult trial, test, circumstance you've lived through, that you've lived to tell about it, and you're telling about it right now on a global platform. How amazing is that? Because what you share today will definitely be absorbed by many souls, and you can change a person's thought process and feeling about certain things that they're going through by your lived experience. So you are the teachers. Don't sit this out. Don't think somebody else is going to do it. I need to hear from you. Like I said, Jerry will be back tomorrow. You have me today. I have you. That's fantastic. Let's take it away. 833-288-3986. I need to know the most difficult test trial you've lived through, and I need the details. Now, many stories are very lengthy because it's your life and you have a lot of elements to it, a lot of circumstances, a lot of twists and turns, right? I need you to condense it. Like my dad would always say, give me the Reader's Digest version. Give me the Reader's Digest version for this, so we can, and so kind of pick the high points of your story so that we can lift those out and maybe have some solid catechesis wrapped around it, okay? Because that's what this show is all about as well. So it's your show, and you can take it as far and wide as you want. I'm here to, I'm along for the ride. I love the Take Two family. You guys are so amazing. I was sharing with, I was in an interview recently, and I was sharing with the host that I learn something new every single time I do this show because of you guys. You are so amazing. So please pick up that last open phone line. Who's going to get it? If you feel the prompting of the Spirit, hurry quickly, quickly, 833-288-3986, and tell us about the most difficult trial, test, circumstance that you have been through. And you can tell us what it was like. You can tell us what you learned. You can tell us how you've grown. Maybe you got deeper in your faith. This is how we're trying to take Holy Week even deeper. You see, that's why we put these particular topics on the calendar. So I do that. Oh, that last line just got picked up. That's good. Now we have the waiting area, so you can keep calling 833-288-3986. And Ace is monitoring social media, and I'm already getting comments coming in. Yeah, I do still need the prayers for, I'm having a little bit of eye trouble on my right eye, you guys, and you're so sweet, and you can tell that I'm not on video, so something must be up. You guys, I love the Take Two family. So yes, they got me on new medication, and I think they've got a handle on it. So thank you for the prayers, but keep them up. I need them, because you kind of need your eyesight somewhat to do this. So it's I just need the prayers. Okay, so most difficult trial you've lived through. Many of us have gone through multiple situations in various ways, various shapes, various times, sizes, you name it, all different angles. We've gone through tough times. Why? Because it's life. Life is just going to be hard sometimes. And it's how, I think anyway, it's how we come out of it. If we're better, a better version of ourselves, maybe you're still in the middle of the storm and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, or maybe you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to be better after this. Let's talk about it, please. Let's talk about it, because help is out there. Resources are there. And that's, I would think that's the one good thing that came out of the pandemic, is all of a sudden you see a ton of outlets and ministries and research and people and counselors and programs out there that can help and get people back on track. So just know that help is out there and reach out for it. I love reaching for help. In fact, I joke about this, but I always tell Jerry I could live on a counselor's virtual couch all day long. I think it's amazing when you have somebody that can listen to you and see it from a different viewpoint, and that's important. So I just want you to know, like, maybe you're sitting back and listening and thinking, I'm in the middle of something, I don't have anything to offer. You do. You have everything to offer. So call us, 833-288-3986, and we'll get to the social media comments as well. Also, you can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. That's the, you can spell it out too, or the number two. So take2@ewtn.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie Facebook page. Charles Beery does such a great job at posting things there. So today we're talking about trials in life, the most difficult one you've lived through. Please call us on Take Two. The question today, the most difficult trial you've lived through, if you can share with us, that would be great. 833-288-3986. Again, Jerry Usher will be back tomorrow. You have me today. And today, 8 years ago today, Mother Angelica went to go meet the Lord on Easter Sunday, 2016. She was 92 years old. Mother Angelica, wow, 8 years ago today. And I would just like to share something, because this is the anniversary of Mother Angelica's passing. And I just want to remember her legacy today. And this was something that I've heard at various radio conferences, and people talked about it. And it just blows my mind, absolutely blows my mind. And it can relate to all of us. And I just want you to really sit back and hear this for a moment. And this is the way I remember the story going. Now, maybe I don't have all the details correct, but this is the outcome of the story. After Mother Angelica left her day-to-day work inside the radio and television network, and she was more in a quiet contemplative place, she was having a conversation or prayer with God, and God revealed to her, my understanding of the story, God revealed to her that she was not the first one that God tapped for being the one to lead and launch the biggest religious media network in the world. She wasn't the first one. She was the fourth one, but she was the first one to say yes. So God apparently tapped three other people, and they didn't respond, and they didn't say yes. And Mother Angelica was the one who said yes. And that just blows my mind, because think about it. How many times in your life maybe have you felt that deep Holy Spirit nudge that God was trying to tap you for something and we ignored it? We walked away. I think it's going to be fascinating when this all plays out in the very end and we see the full story. Those other three people, it's just going to be fascinating to see, like, I don't know what their responses were in heaven, or like, wow, Lord, you had called me to do it and I said no, or I didn't respond. But Mother Angelica, Rita Rizzo did. Pretty amazing. So that tells a lot about our yes. It says a lot about being receptive to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with everybody because I think about it all the time. I heard it, I believe it was Michael Warsaw at a radio conference just recently, a year or two ago, who shared that story. And it stuck with me. I can't get it out of my head. So I just wanted to share that with you. If you're feeling that really overwhelming in prayer that God is trying to tell you something or speak to you, please, you know, go to a spiritual director, get some good counsel with a priest and find out if it's something that God wants you to do, because look how it turned out for Mother Angelica. The legacy is ginormous. It's amazing. So thank you, Mother Angelica, and I hope you're listening to this broadcast today on your anniversary of your passing. Okay, we're going to get to Carrie, who's first up, waiting so patiently, a first-time caller from Catholic Spirit Radio in Illinois. Carrie, you got your big pledge drive next week. It starts on Tuesday. I'm going to be one of the hosts, and I'm looking forward to it. But welcome to Take Two.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so I heard this topic, and I thought, I've got a good one for you. I've taught Catholic school for 17 years in Illinois, but about, it was 12 years ago, no, sorry, 13 years ago this week, I had three children with my husband at the time, and he left us. I was left homeless. I had no idea he had a gambling addiction. We lost our apartment at the time. Our vehicle got towed away. It was like my whole world just came crashing down that day. And I think about that day often, especially this week. What I didn't realize, I felt closer to God in the coming weeks before that week. I taught Catholic school, so that should be a given, but it wasn't at that point. And I started Bible study, and I was really feeling so close to God. And at that time, I didn't know that my husband was being pulled far, far, far away from him. I told the screener the days after all of that happened, I never felt like I was alone in the battle. I mean, I cried. Lots of crying. I worried about losing my job because I thought, oh my gosh, I can't be a single mom in a Catholic school. I was,
yeah,
you know, all this
you probably
stuff.
Had a lot of panic that set in.
It was such a panic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then
yeah.
the weeks that came after that, people left me money, random people in my mailbox. I didn't have a clue who was providing for my children at me. And my friend who taught here at the school with me, she let me live in the house next to her that happened to be empty at the time. And My dad got my car out of the, oh my God, just going through this again, I don't talk about it often.
Mm-hmm.
He paid for my vehicle to get out of the repo junkyard. You know, I had people just taking care of me and my kids, and I never felt alone.
Wow.
God just, it's like he knew, obviously he knew what my husband was doing at the time, And I had to be strong for my kids. I joke about it a lot with the kids. You know, I never took a day off. Mm-hmm. I was your mom, and I had to provide for you. And I couldn't let them know, like, okay,
yes,
we don't have any
you
food.
You had to keep up. You had to keep up the appearances and the routine. Right. Absolutely.
Right. Well, so, after that, I ended up getting an annulment a couple years after that from this husband. He had converted to the Catholic faith, and I thought it was because he had a conversion of heart. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like more he was just to keep me in the dark about what he was actually doing at the time, mm-hmm, with his gambling addictions. And mm-hmm, it was...
Yeah. Well, Carrie, let me pick up on a couple things you said. I think you said it was 12 years ago, then maybe it's 13 years ago, but it was a long time ago, but yet it was this week when it happened. And so of course, you know, like you said, you don't talk about it a lot, but when you think about it, it was the most difficult time. But you said a couple things that I just wanted to highlight. You said you were close to God. He was drifting further away from God, and he was getting into this addiction, and then of course it caused everything to unravel for you and the kids. So obviously you stayed strong. You had the support around you. I think you had a lot of supernatural support around you. I think you had all the angels, everyone nudging the people to provide the house, to provide the food, to provide money, to keep you going so you can go out there and present to the world that, hey, you know, I can be a teacher, I can be a mom, I can continue on even though my husband did this. So fast forward to today. Can you tell us a little bit how he's doing? And how you and the kids are doing?
We got a divorce. We got an annulment. He still has custody of the kids. They are now, my oldest is 21, and he's doing okay. And really good, actually. He got out of college and is an upstanding man in the carpenter's field. And my other child is going off to college and got a golf scholarship. And my daughter is doing great. She sings at our church. And
mm-hmm. Good.
Everything has worked out as a good.
Yeah. How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I still teach at the same school that I was then. And I've been remarried in the church. And have two more children.
Wow.
So I've been blessed with five mm-hmm, wonderful kids and this life that I never thought that I'd have. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking back, I thank God for my husband, my current husband.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But I also thank God that, I know this seems strange to say maybe, I'm so glad that my first husband had all of those things go on and that we were able to get through that. Cause I don't know that I'd appreciate what I have now.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know that I have the relationship I have with God now.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't be listening to your radio station.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but Carrie, what you're saying is huge. It's huge. Yeah, you wouldn't wish this on anybody. You wouldn't want to ever go through something like that again. That was devastating to you. And I can just imagine how you must have felt. I didn't come nearly as close to the circumstances you were faced with, but I came to a really dark place when my marriage unraveled, and I was panicked. There was times where I didn't even know what to do next. It was unbelievable. But you're right. If we come out of it stronger, closer to God, you know, with a deep sense of gratitude, and I'm sure I could add this to your list, Carrie, you probably have a lot of compassion for others. Am I right?
I do.
Yeah. your empathy level goes sky high. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Carrie, you know what? You're a first-time caller. That's huge. And then you said you don't share this very often because it is so painful and it is from your past. But I got to tell you, thank you so much for sharing it with us. It really helped today. You have no idea. You're going to see it hopefully when you finish all your time here on earth, and God will show you how many souls you impacted today by sharing your story. So thank you.
Well, thanks for making this the topic. Well, God did it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, thank you, Carrie. Have a beautiful rest of your holy week and a blessed Triduum to you. Okay, that was an amazing story to get us started. From first-time caller Carrie from Illinois. So she just freed a phone line, 833-288-3986. The most difficult trial you have lived through. Catherine, South Carolina, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Catherine. I want to get started just to greet you, but I'm going to ask you ahead of time if you can hold through the break, okay?
Okay.
So go right ahead. You can, if you want to go ahead and start for a few minutes.
Oh, okay. Yes. When I was a teenager, I had these hiccups that were actually very loud, and one day I could not breathe. And I was actually admitted to the hospital, and they did a bunch of tests to find out what the cause of the hiccups were. While it wasn't actually the reason the hiccups weren't causing it, I had a brain tumor. They found the brain tumor while they were looking for the reason for the hiccups. Mm-hmm. So to fix the hiccups, that ended up being like some GI issues. So I had to have surgery on my stomach, and then actually had to have brain surgery. So kind of when I was going through this, I was, 16, 17 years old. It was a dark time. A lot of my friends, they didn't really know how to act. So they kind of would just not really talk to me or not really talk about it. A few did, but a lot of them weren't like really there. Or kids would kind of joke and make fun because they didn't really know what to say or do. So it was just kind of, I was this very strange one because a kid with the brain tumor. So I did have one teacher that actually had a brain tumor like 2 years before me. She would talk to me a lot, and she said she would pray for me and put me on her prayer list at her church. I was not always sure of my belief in God. Like, I was always raised Catholic. I went to church and things. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't totally sure if I believed, or it wasn't very firm at that age. But as I went through this, I kind of struggled a lot, but I came to believe that there was a God. And I remember right as they were wheeling me into the operating room when I had, I was going to have the brain surgery. I mean, I know now, like, I wasn't likely to die, but as a 16-year-old, I thought, okay, I might not wake up from this surgery. That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. So I remember they would, as they kind of wheeled me in, I remember just saying, like, an Our Father. Like, I was like, there's nothing else I can do at this time. I can't really, like, go to Mass or have reconciliation or anything like that. I was like, this is all I can do. So I remember saying Our Father, like, right before they put me to sleep.
Okay, so Catherine, you got to hold it right there. Remember that you said the Our Father as they were wheeling you into surgery, because you're going to hear the music in just a bit. Hang on, because we've got a lot to talk about this story. What an incredible journey you have been on since you were, 16 years old with these hiccups and then finding this brain tumor. I mean, this is huge for a teenager. So we really want to talk about this and talk about where you saw God. Well, you saw God with that one teacher that was willing to put you on the prayer list because she had gone through it. So yes, see, the empathy level, the compassion rises when people go through difficult times in life. We're speaking with Catherine in South Carolina. When I come back, we'll finish and then we'll get to Kristen and Blake and Jane and Cindy and the others. So come on, you guys, call in. Difficult trials in life, 833-288-3986. Okay. Hey, we're talking about difficult trials in life on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we're speaking with Catherine in South Carolina, and we'll get back with Catherine in just a second. Catherine, hang on. Just had to I have to share this event that's coming up next week. Our friends in Nebraska and Wisconsin need to hear from you next week. Spirit Catholic Radio will air their pledge drive starting Monday, so if you're listening in Omaha, Lincoln, Scotts Bluff, or anywhere, remember to support your EWTN Catholic radio station. So very important. It's pledge drive season, guys. There's pledge drives all around the country. So when your local listening area comes to you and says, we're trying to raise the necessary funds, please give generously. And if you can remember EWTN, that would be fantastic. So wanted to share that with our listeners, and getting back to the conversation with Catherine in South Carolina. So Catherine, you're young, you're 16 years old, you have these hiccups. I mean, I was sharing with our producer, Charles, on the break. I said, this is amazing how God provides the hiccups as the lead-in for them to find the brain tumor. I mean, that in and of itself shows me how God was, that God's fingerprints were on this so that they could locate the brain tumor. Did you pick up on that, Catherine? Obviously you did. You must have talked about it.
People always talk about that, and it's kind of, they thought, okay, hiccups, they thought maybe it was a tumor in my brainstem. If I had had a tumor in my brainstem and the hiccups caused that, that wouldn't have been operable, and it probably would have killed me, but it was actually my cerebellum, so they were not related at all to the hiccups. That was good, because the cerebellum, I mean, I could have it removed surgically. I did very well. It was a heart surgery. I had to completely relearn how to walk.
Wow.
Took about 6 weeks to walk again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was tough as a teenager. I didn't really realize that was going to happen. I don't think my surgical team really prepared me as well as I would have liked. Because I was scared, like, what if I don't relearn to walk? What if I'm not able? It wasn't that I didn't know how, but I couldn't balance and, like, move my body and things. So,
wow.
It was a struggle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A major. But you sound like you're doing fantastic now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was like, it'll be 15 years soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in my 30s now. I'm a nurse.
Oh, you're a nurse. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you want to become a nurse after going through this experience because of the fact that you were a patient? No.
No, I want to get as far away from hospital as I could. I went to college and I majored in math, and I actually worked sort of like as a statistician for a while, but where I got hired was a hospital. And then I realized that I wanted to do more with people. Got like God's hand in my life kind of, I mean, I guess he was there all along, but I felt it more the older I got. And I felt like I wasn't serving God sitting behind a computer. So I went back to school and I became a nurse when I was in my, I think I was like 27, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm 32 now. So
Catherine, I don't know how often you listen to Take Two, but I always think that nurses are going to get a high place in heaven. I just do. So just thought I'd tell you that.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So you're fully in the Catholic Church now, practicing?
Yes. Well, I've always been Catholic, but I'm fully, like, I go to daily mass sometimes, and I go to confession about once a month, whereas it was, like, not nearly as good back then.
I'm a lot more
in my faith now.
Yeah. Oh, Catherine, your story. You have the future is so bright for you, and God has so many more things planned for you in the next chapters of your life. Because I can say this, Catherine, because you're probably the age of my son. So I'm a grandmother, and you have so much to explore and look forward to. And I love that you're sharing with us this journey that you went through in your teenage years, because I think it gives a lot of hope to others that there's so much more ahead, and there's more to do as long as you can get through it and stay strong. And you did, you got through, and wow. I'm so glad you shared it with us. You're a precious soul. I feel it through the radio, and that's a beautiful thing that radio does. It connects us. So thank you, Catherine. Would you consider calling us again for sure, okay?
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Have a blessed rest of your holy week in Triduum. Thank you. What a great story from Catherine in South Carolina. She went through this when she was 16 years old. See, we get hit with these things that, I mean, there are children that are going through difficult situations and they're fighting through it. We can do it with a lot of support around us, but you do need that support. You know, that teacher reached out and you know, prayed for Catherine. We need more support. Like our first caller, when Carrie had all those people come around her, that's really how the body of Christ should work. And that's a beautiful thing. Catherine just filled, freed a phone line. You can fill that line. Please call in right now and share the most difficult trial that you have lived through. Okay, we're learning and growing. So we're changing as we're listening to your experiences. So please, if you have something to share, say yes and share it. 833-288-3986. We'll move to Kristen in Michigan on Good Shepherd Radio. Hi, Kristen. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, how are you today?
I am great. Thank you.
Good. Well, I was on a long drive and I heard your call out for the question and I thought I would share a story about my daughter. When she was about 1.5, she started having uncontrollable seizures, and she went on until she was 5 having them, no medicines, nothing worked. And so at the age of 5, she had the cognitive function of a 9-month-old, and we were kind of just bracing ourselves that we would probably have her living with us until, you know, she probably had an accident and died from a seizure because they were so pervasive. And we have 5 other children. She's my youngest. And, you know, it got so frequent that we'd take the kids to their other activities and Lily would just go down and have a seizure and everybody around us would, you know, panic. And sometimes if she was at school in special ed, she would end up at the hospital and I'd have to go meet her there because the teachers would call an ambulance. And so that was her life. And the doctors said, well, maybe, you know, we can try the surgery. It wasn't a brain tumor. They called it a disorganized cluster of cells. And, you know, we were just deciding, okay, well, it's either that or this will be her life, which wasn't much of one other than, you know, saying mama and sitting on the couch and just kind of peeing her pants. And that was what she did. So I converted after my marriage and after my second child to the Catholic faith. And my husband was very, very strong, which was one of the, in his faith, which was one of the most attractive things about him to me. And we were in Mass the Sunday before her surgery, which was a Tuesday, and I was at one end of the pew. Our 6 children were in the middle, and my husband was at the other end. And at the end of Mass, I just saw him buckle and go down. Mm. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, he's just going through it. He's saying his prayers and whatever. He's dealing with it. And we got out of Mass, and he told me afterwards, he said, I wasn't testing God. I was asking him to just let me know how to lead my family through this because, you know, you have to sign the papers. She's young. She could die, this, that, and the other thing. And he's like, I can't do this without you. He said that he heard a voice during Mass, and it said that she was going to be okay. And he said that God also said he was going to play How Great Thou Art. Hmm. And that was the closing hymn, which isn't, I mean, they play it at Mass, but it's not common.
Right.
So when that song played, that's when he buckled and fell to the ground. And that's what happened. And she had her surgery. She started talking a few hours later, saying a few words. About 3 years later, she developed out of the special ed program and went mainstream. She didn't play a lot of sports or anything because she was still getting her motor skills back and whatnot. And we're just kind of seeing how it was going. And it was continually getting better. She was about in 9th grade when she did her first sport. And by 12th grade, she had a scholarship to a D1 track and field program here in Michigan, and she competed there and graduated college in 2.5 years just this past December.
Oh, and my goodness.
So going from thinking that we would have her living with us our whole lives to, you know, looking forward now to seeing what God has in store for her, because I'm sure it's something wonderful. Mm-hmm. But that's my basic story, and I just, like the other caller said, I guess I wouldn't trade it. You know, I think it taught the whole family a lesson. I think it brought us closer. My kids would be playing games in the family room, and, you know, they'd just be, like, rolling her out of the way while they're playing their game, saying, "Mom, seizure!" You know, it just became such a part of our everyday life. And to see her not only get better, but get better to that point of being a D1 athlete and a Dean's List student and graduating in 2.5 years. And I will say, we did take her to Father Solanas' tomb in Detroit, and we did pray for her there. And I don't know if you can call that a miracle. I don't think you can prove it. But in my mind, that's something that is extraordinary. And I haven't shared it a lot because in high school, when she did start competing, if I would say to her coaches, "Hey, you know, this is her background," it takes her a little longer to learn things. But once they're in there, they're in there, and she'll blow you away.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So Kristen, a couple things. You know, I'm just, you said you don't share it a lot. Couple things. Do you feel comfortable? I put your whole family and I put your daughter in the book. Do you feel comfortable sharing your husband's first name? Because you got a real Saint Joseph there. I just want to tell you.
I sure do. And that's I think that's God's greatest gift to me in life. His name is Jeff.
His name is Jeff. Okay. And I put Kristen and Jeff and all your kids, and I put your daughter in. If you feel comfortable giving your first name, feel free. If not, that's totally fine. I want to respect her privacy, but I will tell you, you said you don't share it very often. As you were sharing this story, especially the role that you played as a couple, a Catholic married couple, the way your husband went to prayer for his family, the way he heard this, "How great thou art," so amazing. There are so many elements here, Kristen, and just pray about it and think about it. Not only a book, but a movie. Somehow you got to get this out there far and wide, because the elements of this story can pertain, people can relate to a lot of details of what you shared that they're going through and they need to tap into. And your husband did just that. You did that. You tapped into it. Your family did. They all played a role. Everybody played a role. And your daughter thrived and flourished and blossomed through it. So it all works together in that cooperation that God asks from all of us. And so at least if you don't want to do the whole movie route or book route, at least let the Father Solanas Casey Foundation know what happened. Because I tell you what, this story, I do believe it's miraculous. Absolutely. Based on what you shared with us, I think God was all over it. And thank goodness God shared with Jeff so that it kept you guys strong and together to get through it. So God bless you for sharing it with us. Any final comments? Have you thought about it, taking it a little bit bigger?
I haven't. I did say to myself, done with sports, I would start sharing it. So when you asked today, I'm like, okay, I'm calling in. Because like I was saying, her coaches were marginalizing and I didn't want it to affect her, but now I think it should share it.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And please, whatever we can do to support in prayer or anything else, let us know, keep us posted. But yeah, in my humble opinion, Kristen, you have major miracles there.
I believe that as well. And her name is Lily.
Oh, I love that, Lily. All right. Give her big hugs from the Take Two family. Will you do that?
I sure will.
Okay. Thank you for sharing today. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your Holy Week and blessed Triduum and a happy early Easter. Oop, that's the first time I've said it. I said it. Okay. All right. So Kristen just freed that phone line. Please, someone pick it up. You have time still. 833-288-3986. Before we get to Blake, hold on just 30 more seconds. I wanted to share about the Holy Week specials coming up this weekend on EWTN Radio. Mornings with Mother, the Seven Last Words of Christ, Holy Saturday, 8 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. That's all the Holy Week specials. There's so much more. EWTN has us covered. That's why I love it. If you cannot make it to some of the Triduum services or during the day, Stations of the Cross, things like that, prayers, devotionals, please check out EWTN Radio and Television. That's what I do. Okay, Blake in Oklahoma, you Sirius XM 130, you get our Virtual Patience Award today. I think you waited the whole entire show. Welcome.
Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'll try to keep this as brief as I can. I struggled with depression for probably over 20 years, and just really, really bad depression where I would consider suicide many, many times. And the day that this happened, what I consider a miracle, I was at work and just something told me in my head that you're going to continue to burden your family. But if you kill yourself now, my Lily is three. She won't remember you and you won't put your demons on her. And your wife won't have to, who is a saint for dealing with me for all these years. She won't be burdened by you anymore. And so I decided to go home, put a note on the door that I told my wife that I'm dead in here, so please don't come in because I don't want you to remember me like this, but I did it for you all, and I know you won't understand. And so I put a gun in my mouth, and I couldn't do it. And I'm screaming at myself, like, you hate your family. And then something said, confession is at 11, and I looked at the clock, and it was 10:45, so I drove to the church, and I went to the confessional, and I go in, and I'm crying, and our priest, who is one of the best priests in the confessional, he said, you have so many cuts on your heart, I can see them. Why do you feel like you don't deserve love? And my head was like, I don't feel that way. And then he said, well, we're not leaving. And we prayed and asked Jesus to open my memories and give me courage to heal this. And I just said, you know, my dad, and started crying. And he just said, you know, our fathers are men like we are. We're not perfect, but your God in heaven, your Father in heaven is. And he loves you. And we finished the confessional, the confession, and he gave me absolution, and he said, the Blessed Sacrament is exposed for your penance. Just go pray, and in front of the sacrament, continue to ask Jesus to heal you and to cure these scars. And so I'm out there, and I'm crying, and I'm praying, and there's little ladies and men in adoration, and I'm crying with my eyes closed, and one of them just comes, gives me like this giant bear hug. And I went to pat their arm to tell them thank you for hugging me. And I was completely alone. There was no one there. And I just had this feeling of peace that I love you no matter what. And I walked out of the church, and I went and told my wife, and I said, my depression is cured. And about 3 months later, my wife's a physician, and she said, you know, you seem different. Let's try to titrate you off of your medication. And I said, I quit the next day. I've never taken it since the day I had that confession. And she said, well, it's a miracle then. Mm-hmm. And, it's, you know, we're at over 3 years now, and I firmly believe that my depression is gone. And since that, I just offered everything to God. Said, what do you want me to do? And then, you know, men who suffer for the same problem that I do have come into my life in pretty amazing ways. And so, and then what I was telling your screener is, you know, when this happened, it wasn't like I considered myself a bad Catholic. I mean, I was by the definition of practicing Catholic. I did a rosary every day. We never missed Mass. I did confession probably at least bi-monthly, mm-hmm. bi-week, or, you know, bi-weekly, every 2 weeks. But since then, I realized that I could have been doing so much more. I could be, you know, now I want to read all the Church Fathers, and just, you know, how much more can I give to God? Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. just been, it's been an amazing 3 years. And God uses us, and we have these sufferings in our life, because had I not gone through this, I wouldn't realize how much I need God, and I wouldn't have dedicated my life to God. And so these sufferings have such a beautiful part in His plan.
Right, right. Well, Blake, let me share a couple things. You said you're a first-time caller. You shared this with us, and we're so grateful. I'm trying to hold back the tears because the show's gonna end in a few minutes, and I want to make sure I can still communicate. This is you do have a miracle. You have a major miracle. God healed you from the inside out, and wounds are very, very hard to heal, and that's why people do good, wonderful, faithful Catholics can fall into depression all the time. So Blake, you got your major miracle, and I'm just so grateful to God. And I it was interesting as you started to speak and you said that when you were at that lowest point and then you got that message that the confessions were happening, immediately I thought of your guardian angel. Your guardian angel was working overtime to make sure that you had that comfort, that connection with God, I believe, knowing that what I know about studying about the angels. And so, Blake, you had a ton of heavenly support to get you through this, and you got through it, and it is. And my prayer for you, I put you in the book, my prayer for you is continued focus and strength, because there's a reason you went through it. Like you said, other people now are coming into your life, and there's a path and a plan and a purpose forward that God wants from you, Blake. And I love that. And I can't wait to hear about it. I hope the next call we get from you is like, you're not going to believe this. I'm doing this or doing that. I love how God works. And I know you probably feel that already. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing your story with us, because now we can pray that all that comes to fruition. Sound good?
Yep. And the one thing I want to leave anybody listening to that may be scared of going to confession, because confession has become such it was before, but it's become such a powerful sacrament for me. If you're like afraid to go to confession, it is not something to be afraid of. It is so much love that God's giving us, and it is so much healing. So go to confession. The more you do it, the more beneficial it is. Mm-hmm. And just let God love you and let God.
Yep. It can save a life. Absolutely. Blake, we're with you. Thank you, sir. Have a beautiful rest of your Holy Week and a blessed Triduum. I literally have a minute and a half. Katie, I don't think I'm going to do it justice, but I'm going to say hello to you from Station of the Cross in Pennsylvania. Katie, literally, I have 90 seconds. I don't know if you can share what you wanted to share. Katie from Pennsylvania.
I will try so hard. Okay. Our sweet Sarah, who is 9 now, was severely ill. She had meningitis, encephalitis. The doctors told us absolutely no way is she going to make it at 8 weeks. And we were devastated. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And we had people praying rosaries, just praying and praying and praying, because, you know, we truly believe in the power of prayer. The day before her final MRI to find out whether or not she was going to even survive, mm-hmm. My husband went to the chapel at the hospital and he prayed just mm-hmm. the word please. And God gave him these beautiful visions of her as a toddler and through her childhood and teen years and even in her wedding dress.
Wow. Wow. Another miracle. Katie, you are awesome. I mean, what an amazing story. I wish we had more time. When we have our Miracle Monday, call back and share the details of this, because you've got another St. Joseph there with your husband. Pretty amazing. Katie, thank you. Barbara in Colorado, so sorry I won't be able to get to your story. Please forgive me. Same with Jane in Iowa. And the others that are trying to get in, you guys are awesome for waiting. I wish we had hours and hours to talk about how God's fingerprints are all over situations, even the most difficult ones, when we suffer loss and real major problems. But God is there, your guardian angels beside you. And you heard it from Blake. Get to confession, please. Thank you again to the show team. You guys did a great job. Matt, Charles, Ace, thank you so very much. Tomorrow is Unscripted. Actually, Barbara and Jane, if you want to call back tomorrow, we'll put you first in Unscripted. Barbara and Jane, please, Matt, let them know Unscripted is tomorrow. Jerry will be back. You guys are fantastic. I love the Take Two family. Have a beautiful and blessed day. We ask St. Rupert of Salzburg, please pray for all of us.